help us commence this evening with hymn 1134. Come, gracious Spirit, heavenly Dove, with light and comfort from above, our waiting souls set free. Be thou our guardian, thou our guide, our every thought and step preside, and draw us after thee. 1134.
Read together from the Holy Word of God, reading from the book of Ruth, chapters 3 and 4. The book of Ruth, and we read chapters 3 and 4. Ruth, chapter 3. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, My daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? And now is not Boaz of our kindred, with whose maidens thou wast. Behold, he winnoweth barley tonight in the threshing floor. Wash thyself therefore, and anoint thee, and put thy raiment upon thee, and get thee down to the floor, but make not thyself known unto the man, until he shall have done eating and drinking. And it shall be, when he lieth down, that thou shalt mark the place where he shall lie, and thou shalt go in, and uncover his feet, and lay thee down, and he will tell thee what thou shalt do. And she said unto her, All that thou sayest unto me, I will do. And she went down unto the floor, and did according to all that her mother-in-law bade her. And when Boaz had eaten and drunk, and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of corn, and she came softly and uncovered his feet and laid her down. And it came to pass at midnight that the man was afraid and turned himself, and behold, a woman lay at his feet. And he said, Who art thou? And she answered, I am Ruth, thine handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman. And he said, Blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast showed more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning, inasmuch as thou followest not young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, fear not. I will do to thee all that thou requirest. For all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. And now it is true that I am thy near kinsman. Howbeit there is a kinsman nearer than I. Tarry this night, and it shall be in the morning, that if he will perform unto thee the part of a kinsman, well, let him do the kinsman's part. But if he will not do the part of a kinsman to thee, then will I do the part of a kinsman to thee, as the Lord liveth. Lie down until the morning. And she lay at his feet until the morning, and she rose up before one could know another. And he said, Let it not be known that a woman came into the floor. Also he said, Bring the veil that thou hast upon thee, and hold it. And when she held it, he measured 6 measures of barley and laid it on her, and she went into the city. And when she came to her mother-in-law, she said, Who art thou, my daughter? And she told her all that the man had done to her. And she said, These 6 measures of barley gave he me, for he said to me, Go not empty unto thy mother-in-law. Then she said, Sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall, for the man will not be in rest until he have finished the thing this day. Then went Boaz up to the gate, and sat him down there, and behold, the kinsman of whom Boaz spake came by, unto whom he said, Ho, such a man, turn aside, sit down here. And he turned aside and sat down. And he took 10 men of the elders of the city, and said, sit ye down here. And they sat down. And he said unto the kinsman, Naomi, that is come again out of a country of Moab, selleth a parcel of land, which was our brother Elimelech's. And I for to advertise thee, saying, Buy it before the inhabitants, and before the elders of my people. If thou wilt redeem it, redeem it. But if thou wilt not redeem it, then tell me, that I may know. For there is none to redeem it beside thee, and I am after thee. And he said, I will redeem it. Then said Boaz, What day thou buyest the field of the hand of Naomi, thou must buy it also of Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance. And the kinsman said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar mine own inheritance. Redeem thou my right to thyself, for I cannot redeem it. Now this was a manner in former time in Israel concerning redeeming and concerning changing. For to confirm all things, a man plucked off his shoe and gave it to his neighbour, and this was a testimony in Israel. Therefore the kinsman said unto Boaz, Buy it for thee. So he drew off his shoe. And Boaz said unto the elders and unto all the people, Ye are witnesses this day, that I have bought all that was Elimelech's, and all that was Chilion's and Mahlon's, of the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, have I purchased to be my wife, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance, that the name of the dead be not cut off from among his brethren, and from the gate of his place. Ye are witnesses this day. And all the people that were in the gate and the elders said, We are witnesses. The Lord make the woman that is come into thine house like Rachel and like Leah, which two did build the house of Israel, and do thou worthily in Ephratah, and be famous in Bethlehem, and let thy house be like the house of Phares, whom Tamar bare unto Judah, of the seed which the Lord shall give thee of this young woman. So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife, and when he went in unto her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. And the women said unto Naomi, Blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel, and he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life, and a nourisher of thine old age. For thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than seven sons, hath borne him. So Naomi took the child, and laid it in her bosom, and became nurse unto it. And the women, her neighbours, gave it a name, saying, There is a son born to Naomi. They called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. Now these are the generations of Phares. Phares begat Hezron, and Hezron begat Ram, and Ram begat Amminadab, and Amminadab begat Nashon, and Nashon begat Salmon, and Salmon begat Boaz, And Boaz begat Obed, and Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David. Amen. May the Lord be pleased to bless to our souls the reading of his holy word, and help us now as we come before him in prayer. Lord God Almighty, thou who art the one true living God, and our Maker and our Creator, the God of the whole earth, hallowed be thy name. Lord, we gather here on this weeknight occasion, professedly to worship thee. We gather in thine earthly courts, we gather around thy word. Oh, that we might be found at the feet of Jesus to learn of him. Would it please thee, Lord, to grant us thy felt presence here tonight. All that blessing we crave, may Jesus himself draw near and come with us, and come and bless us, and come and help us, and come and do us good. Lord, have we not read of Ruth of that time that Boaz would not have her go back home empty? O empty, send us not away. Lord, how dependent we are upon thee to give. Oh, it must be given. And Lord, we may feel to be so unworthy, undeserving, and yet perhaps so needy, a longing soul, a hungering, a thirsting soul, a praying soul, a needy soul, a hoping soul, a waiting soul, a looking soul, oh, a troubled soul, Lord, a tried soul, an oppressed soul. Thou knowest, Lord, how each one of us have turned in this night. The motives even that have brought us here, God only sees. And Lord, from what scenes and situations we may have left, Lord, it may have been a great rush to be here tonight. There may have been the hindrances, the difficulties, the problems, the matters at home, the matters in the business, those various cares and, Lord, those various things which lay upon us. O Lord, as we have the privilege and blessing of being found here now, we pray that all these other things may be kept out, and keep out the buyers and the sellers, and all that would intrude and disturb and distract, and grant us a quiet hour in thy house. Oh, may it be good for us to be here. Lord, it is good for us to be here, to be found in the house of God, to be found gathered around thy word, to be found at the throne of grace, to be found singing thy worthy praises, oh, to be found to hear the gospel trumpet, to hear the word of God. Lord, it is good for us to be here. But, oh, Lord, may there be that rich blessing, that token of thy love, thy compassion, thy care, thy goodness. Lord, to meet with us here, oh, in that collective way, but in that personal way. Oh, when wilt thou come unto me? Remember me with the favour that thou bearest unto thy people. Oh, visit me with thy salvation, Lord, we would not be selfish, but, O Lord, thou knowest the needs of each one, those things which concern us spiritually and providentially. O Lord, we would have that personal interest, that saving knowledge of Christ. O, we would find grace in thy sight. We would be found under the shadow of thy wing. O Lord, then do remember us in this, we pray. And if any have turned in unconcerned, indifferent, or even satisfied with a lamp of profession, a form of godliness, oh, would it please thee, Lord, to awaken and to quicken and to call by thy grace, pluck them as brands from the burning, and show them themselves as they really are. Lord, do remember seeking souls, longing souls, those who long to find thee, to know thee, to be found in thee, that I may know him, whom to know is life eternal, or to know the Lord Jesus as our Saviour, our Redeemer, our friend, our shepherd, our all in all. Those who long for that revelation, this my incessant cry shall be, Jesus, reveal thyself to me. Remember those who need reviving, restoring, comforting. Lord, those who need such a confirmation that they are in the right way. Do remember such in providential need. O Lord, who supply every need. Any who are bowed down, oppressed, walking in darkness, under Satan's temptations or accusations. Those who, with one of old, are ready to halt, for they cannot carry on, cannot continue. O, do grant more grace to press on toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We would also remember those unable to be here, those who would be here if they could. We pray for any in affliction or sickness, any laid aside, any caught up in employments, and those at home with the children or little ones. Those away at this time, Lord, remember each and every one. And do remember any who could have come but had no desire to come. Oh, do touch their hearts. Bless his cause of truth. We would be thankful for what thou hast done. Oh, but still to ask for more. More visitations, more showers of blessing. Oh, more true prosperity, that thy name might be glorified. Lord, do bless each one in the congregation, in the church. Remember the officers of the church and grant much grace and wisdom. Do help thy servants who minister here from time to time, and may they come as sent of God, preaching the glorious gospel of Christ. Lord, remember Zion. Oh, remember the churches. Remember all thy people throughout the whole earth, all who love and fear thy name, who worship thee in spirit and in truth, and those not as favoured and privileged as we are. We pray for those in persecution, those under oppression, those in fear of attack, imprisonment, deprivations. O Lord, undertake for them, those in loneliness, isolation, have been cut off. O Lord, do remember them also, we pray. And how thankful we should be for the privileges yet bestowed upon us. How greatly favoured we are. Oh, we would be truly thankful for every blessing. Those mercies known, many, many mercies unknown. Oh, how great is thy faithfulness and thy goodness, and thy kindness and thy compassions, they fail not. Who is a God like unto thee? There is none. Lord, we would bring before thee at this time our land and nation. Oh, this critical time. Lord, all the uproar, all the disquiet, the chaos, all the distresses, Lord, all the confusion. Oh, Lord, and yet, Lord, as a nation, how we have turned from thee. A nation once so highly favoured, but now a nation so greatly fallen, a nation which has destroyed itself because we have turned from God. A nation where evils and abominations are promoted and gloried in. Lord, a nation that has truly forsaken God. We fear that thou art forsaking this nation. Oh, forsake us not utterly. Lord, there is a little remnant of praying souls, a little remnant of burdened souls, a little remnant of crying souls, a little remnant of pleading souls. Oh, Lord, in wrath remember mercy and stem the great tide of sin and iniquity. Or is it, as a hymn writer once penned, the Lord displeased hath raised his rod, and is that rod going to fall down upon this nation? Oh, to punish. Oh, Lord, hear the cries of thy people, personal, collective, in Zion. Oh, Lord, have mercy upon us at this time. Rule and overrule. We are exhorted to pray for all in authority, we would. And to remember our Queen also. O Lord, preserve her and grant her wisdom. Grant to our leaders wisdom. The advisers, oh, what a role they seem to have also. Lord, grant wisdom, grant grace, and raise up some who seek to do that which is right in thy sight. O Lord, we look to thee. O, do have mercy upon us, we pray. And do remember the nations of the earth. O, where nation would rise up against nation. Where are those threats, those accusations, all those things which are happening we hear of. Lord, it is our comfort to believe, to know that thou art upon the throne, God in control. Not a single shaft can hit till the God of love sees it. And, O Lord, may we be found amongst those who are faithful. Faithful to the word of God, faithful to the ways of God. Oh, to be kept faithful in this evil, degenerate, wicked and dark day. Oh, by thy grace, may our lamps be found shining brightly in this dark world of sin. And by thy grace, oh, we almost tremble to say it. Lord, it must be by thy almighty grace that we can show the world how Christians live. Oh, we feel to come so far short. We feel at times to be so ashamed. Oh, Lord, have mercy upon us. And grant us much grace. Now, Lord, do be with us, help us through this service. Open to us the scriptures. Open our hearts to receive them. Lord, do bless thy word. Bless thy people. Above all, glorify thy name. And get to thyself all the honour, all the glory. And take us each back to our homes in peace and safety, even with a blessing. As we would ask all in that worthy and precious and all-prevailing name of Jesus. For Jesus' sake alone we ask. Amen.
Hymn 947. Great God, to thee I'll make my griefs and sorrows known, and with a humble hope approach thy awful throne. Though by my sins deserving hell, I'll not despair, for who can tell? 947.
To grant his gracious help, I direct your prayerful attention to the book of Ruth, from chapter 3, in the former part of verse 11. Ruth, chapter 3, the former part of verse 11. And now, my daughter, fear not, I will do to thee all that thou requirest. And now, my daughter, fear not, I will do to thee all that thou requirest. In the Word of God, the Holy Bible, we have that which is of the natural, but we also have that which is of the spiritual. You take the parable of it's called the Good Samaritan. And there the Lord Jesus is speaking of who is thy neighbour. And as that man fell among the thieves and was robbed and beaten and left half dead, neither the priest nor the Levite coming that way went to him or helped him, but passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan coming that way, when he saw him, had compassion and went to him and cared for him. Now, that may have been a natural situation. It may or may not have happened. But oh, to see the spiritual. To see the spiritual there. The Lord Jesus coming that way. His people, beaten by the law, left half dead, dying. But he has compassion upon them and comes to them. Oh, how he cares for them. He pours in the oil and wine of the gospel. He binds up those wounds which sin hath made. Oh, yes, his loving care. How he cares for his people. And also I thought of the parable of a sower. Again, another natural. And so we have the sowing of a seed. We have the four types of ground. But as we all know, it was only from the good ground that the fruit was brought forth. All the other three grounds, as it were, failed to bring forth fruit. Oh, there may have been some growth, but there was no fruit. Again, we can see the natural. We can have that understanding. As it was then, so it is now. Not all seed germinates, depending sometimes upon the ground. But the idea, as it were, with a seed being sown, is that it might grow and bring forth fruit. Well, we see the natural, but may the Lord help us to see the spiritual. The seed is the word of God, and all the ground, it's the heart of man. Are we found amongst the good ground hearers? Would we be found amongst the good ground hearers? Have you ever thought of Lydia there in the book of Acts, whose heart the Lord opened? And again, we see it in nature. The ground, it cannot prepare itself. The ground can do nothing, well, really, but bring forth weeds. So the hearts of all bring forth sin left of themselves. But how the Lord prepares the hearts of his people. In various ways, diverse ways, the Lord will prepare the hearts of his people. Sanctified troubles, sanctified afflictions, sanctified disappointments, sanctified setbacks and so on. But the heart is prepared for what? To receive the word of God. Oh, what a great mercy, blessing and privilege if we know what it is to receive the word of God, to receive it in our heart. That we might in due season also bring forth fruit. And let us I realise I digress, but just thinking of this bringing forth fruit, it's not for us to glory in, it's not for us to show off to others, it is bringing forth fruit unto God's honour and God's glory. And I do believe many a child of God cannot see, as it were, the fruit that they bring forth. But the fruit that they bring forth, it's unto God, for his honour and for his glory. Now again, you take in the Old Testament where we have so many types and figures and shadows of things that were to come. And you think of how the Lord called Abram out of Ur of the Chaldees, the land of his nativity, the land where he had lived all his life. But that time, that appointed time came when he must leave. He must come out. He must come away. And the Lord brought him forth, and he came forth by faith, and he went forth not knowing whither he went, but he was to be led to the promised land. So you can see the natural. But the spiritual, doesn't it set forth the Lord calling his people out of this world? To leave this world's deceitful shore, and to leave it to return no more. No more. That they might go on to the promised land. We have it again with the children of Israel being brought forth out of Egypt through that wilderness unto the promised land. So the Lord, he brings forth his people out of the Egypt of this world. And whilst they live here below, they are pilgrims, they are strangers. Have you considered that? If your and my religion is real, if it is of the Holy Ghost, if we have been truly born again, then here upon this world we must be pilgrims and strangers. This is not our rest, this is not our home. It is polluted. And does not the Lord empty his people from vessel to vessel? You think of hymn 289, thus far my God has led me on, and so on, through this waste howling wilderness. And how the Lord deals with his people. All the trials, the troubles, the distresses, all being sanctified for their spiritual good. 'Tis thus our self and pride must fall, that Jesus may be all in all. And just one more I think of, or two more perhaps. When Moses, under instruction by God, would lift up that brazen serpent. You think of it, a piece of brass shaped into the form of a serpent upon that pole. And how the children of Israel, again under instruction, those who were bitten would look upon that brazen serpent, and those who had been bitten would be healed. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, said the Lord Jesus, setting forth a spiritual, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up upon the cross at Calvary. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. And every child of God without exception is drawn to Christ. All drawn to the feet of Jesus, drawn to the cross of Christ. Drawn in that felt need of him, drawn as a poor sinner, drawn as a wounded soul. All but drawn to the Lord Jesus, his precious sin-atoning blood that cleanses from all sin. And then I just think very briefly of Solomon, and oh, what wisdom was given to him. Wisdom that excelled everyone else upon the earth. Indeed, his wisdom was known throughout the world, and they came from the ends of the world to hear of the wisdom of Solomon. Could answer every question, could deal with every difficulty, every hard case, every matter. Oh, what wisdom was given to him. So we see the natural, but a greater than Solomon is here. The Lord Jesus of infinite wisdom. Now, why do I begin thus? Well, we have this little book of Ruth. And it concerns Naomi, and it concerns Ruth, and it concerns Boaz. Of course, there were others also. And we have the natural story, Naomi and her husband and two sons making that awful decision to leave the land of Israel and to go to Moab because of the famine, and there they resided for a time, and Naomi's husband Elimelech died, and the two sons take unto them wives of the daughters of Moab. And then, soon after, it seems, the two sons also die. And so the woman, Naomi, is bereft of her husband and two sons, but she still has her daughters-in-law. And yet she hears that the Lord has visited his people in Israel and given them bread. The famine has now ceased. There is food again. And so she returns, and though both daughters-in-law would come with her, one still having that love to her own land and people, she returns, but the other one, Ruth, would go forth with Naomi, her mother-in-law. And Ruth, being industrious, would go forth to reap or to glean amongst the sheaves there. And then she happens to light into that part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who happened to be one of the kinsmen of Elimelech, and how one thing led to another in the two chapters we read together. And there are things there which really we don't understand. And many struggle with them. A different culture, a different time. And things which we wonder why these things are there. As it was said in chapter 4, removing the shoe that one might give to another. It was a testimony in Israel. What a strange thing to do. But that was their culture. That was the way they did things. And so we have the natural, and sometimes the natural we just do not really understand. But when we might be blessed to see the spiritual, oh, what a glory and what a beauty shines forth. Oh, when we see Boaz as a beautiful type of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we see Ruth as a type of a child of God. Or when we see that which is spiritual. I believe you'll find that many of the commentators would suggest that the advice Naomi gave to Ruth to go down to the floor by the heap of corn and to lay at Boaz's feet, they say is bad advice, putting her in a very vulnerable, dangerous situation. Well, if you look at the natural, that may be the case, I don't know. But if you look at the spiritual, surely, or without fail, the Holy Spirit will lead every child of God to the feet of Jesus, because that is where we find Ruth at the feet of Boaz. But to see the spiritual, you see a poor sinner, a needy soul, being brought to the feet of Jesus. Oh, I wonder how many here, spiritually, have been found at the feet of Jesus. And also, I wonder how many desire, long, and are seeking to be found at the feet of Jesus. Because I do believe that every child of God will be brought by the Holy Spirit, being led, being drawn to the feet of Jesus. Oh, when we see this, and when we feel to be there, what a blessed place to be. What a precious place to be, there at the feet of Jesus. And she came as a needy soul. She came as a burdened soul. Oh, she came just as she was. She came under instruction of Naomi. And there she was found. And again, to me, another evidence of what Ruth did in the times was it wrong. Because surely being a mighty man of wealth, a man of authority, surely he would have reproved her. But the very first thing he says is, blessed. Blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter. He speaks favorably unto her. He speaks kindly unto her. He speaks graciously unto her. And poor sinners who come to the feet of Jesus. He doesn't reprove them. He doesn't rebuke them. He doesn't cast them away. No, he that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. But he speaks favorably unto them. He speaks graciously unto them. Oh, again, here in our text, and now, my daughter, fear not. And why should Boaz say, "Fear not"? Well, surely in Ruth there were many, many fears. And poor sinners coming to the Lord Jesus as sinners, oh, they come with many, many fears. All but to hear a "fear not". If we have no fear, then the words of "fear not" mean nothing to us. There are those who are very self-confident, those who are very strong, and they boast that they have no fears. Well, a "fear not" to them is nothing at all. Doesn't mean a thing. Have no need of it. But to those who are very fearful and very troubled and very concerned and very anxious, a "fear not" to them, oh, how wonderful. You may have a parent speaking to a fearing child. A "fear not" to reassure, to comfort, to encourage, to help. But when the Lord speaks it unto his people, oh, when they're full of fears, and the Lord says, "Fear not." Now, I don't know, and it's not even for me to know, if there are any here tonight who have come in full of fears, whether spiritual, concerning your never-dying souls, or providential in matters in your lives, and you're full of fear. Oh, what's going to happen? What is the end of this thing? Why has this come upon me? It has stirred you up, it's agitated you, it's distressed you, it's concerned you. There is that fear of the future, fear of the unknown, fear how the matter may fall. There is that fear of man, or fear of many, many things. And the Lord says, "Fear not." Man may say, "Fear not." Oh, but the fears continue. But when the Lord speaks into the heart, "Fear not." You think of that word the apostle, I think, wrote to the church at Philippi. Be careful for nothing. Be not over anxious, over careful, over concerned. And yet there are things in our lives where we are over-careful, over-anxious. They cause us great alarm, great concern, great fear, great care. But the word of God says to the child of God, be careful for nothing. Oh, how can I be careful for nothing? But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. There's the answer, there's the remedy for this over-anxiousness, this over-carefulness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. And when we take it to the Lord in prayer, oh, we're found at the throne of grace, we're found at the blood-sprinkled mercy seat, we're found at the feet of Jesus. And if you will, we're found casting all our care upon him, and to prove he careth for you. Casting all your care upon him, all your concern upon him. Cast thy burden upon the Lord. The things which you cannot handle, the things you cannot cope with, the things which are greatly troubling you. Oh, what grace we need. You know, it's easy to say these things, but all to walk them out, to prove them, to be given grace to cast all our care upon the Lord. And really that also means, and leave it with him. Leave it with him. Do we really believe in the things which we say that we believe? That God is sovereign. God is in control. God is able. God is faithful. God is good. God is kind. The God whom we worship is a prayer-hearing and prayer-answering God. No good thing shall he withhold from them who walk uprightly. One who, yes, he instructs his people, casting all your care upon him. It's a word of counsel, a word of instruction. For he careth for you. Oh, sometimes in our troubles and trials, we really wonder if the Lord does care for us. Oh, why this disappointment? Why this crooked thing? Why this hard thing? Oh, why this thing which seems so heavy, so burdensome, so distressing, so trying? And how quickly Satan comes in like a flood. A flood of doubts and fears, a flood of questions, a flood of overcarefulness, a flood of hard thoughts against God as a cruel taskmaster, and so on. Again, what grace we need to resist the devil and to prove he shall flee from us. What grace we need to trust in God. And yet really it's much on my mind of take it to the Lord in prayer. Oh, really here, Ruth was under instruction to take it to Boaz. All that thou sayest unto me, I will do. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Continue in prayer. Pray without ceasing. All that thou sayest unto me, I will do, as grace is given. And she did. And there she was at the feet of Boaz, and there's a poor sinner, a poor child of God, a poor trembling soul at the feet of Jesus. Doesn't one of the hymns say, for none can perish there? None can perish here. And do they not say that the sheep closest to the shepherd is the safest? Or would we not be found close to the Lord, draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh unto you, to come with our petitions, to come with our requests, to come with our needs, to one who is faithful, to one who is gracious, to one who is good, to one who is kind, or to one who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can either ask or think. So the petition really of Ruth was, spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman. Take me unto thyself. Take me under thy care, under thy protection, under thy keeping. Oh, take me to be thy wife. And all that it meant. And really in that sense, Ruth, she cast herself at the feet of Boaz. And how gracious was his answer. And now, my daughter, fear not. I will do to thee all that thou requirest. Yes, there was that nearer kinsman, and we know how it all fell out. The nearer kinsman, once he heard of Ruth, he could not take it for himself, lest I mar mine own inheritance. I cannot redeem it. The law can redeem nobody. Works can redeem nobody, but the Lord Jesus, he has a right to redeem. The Redeemer kinsman, or that he is the Redeemer, redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus. Those dear souls who would be found at the feet of Jesus are also found under the shadow of his wings, are found at the foot of the cross, are found sheltering under his blood. All that precious blood that cleanseth from all sin. All that blood we would plead at the mercy seat. Redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. Ah, all that thou requirest I will do. Ah, the love, the compassion, the good, but the ability. Oh, the ability and the willingness. The willingness, I will. Or when the Lord says to his people, I will, then we can rest assured, whatever opposition there may be, whatever mountains there may be, whatever difficulties there may be, whatever fears there may be, or there will be a performance, because God is faithful. Hath he not said, shall he not do it? I will. You think of that leper, full of leprosy, who came to the Lord Jesus and fell before him and worshipped him. He also, or literally, was found at the feet of Jesus, a poor leprous soul. And he had his petition, he had his request. And in one sense, to look at it in the natural, it's a hard question. Because there was no cure for leprosy. It was incurable. There was no physician throughout the whole earth who could help, who could heal, who could cure. But you see, this leper, he comes by faith. He comes in his felt need of Christ. He comes believing. We may have come trembling, but he came believing. Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. He was fully persuaded that the Lord was able to cure him. Now that was faith. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith in his ability. It may be there's one here tonight, you believe that the blood of Jesus cleanses from all sin. You believe that the Lord is able to save all of his people from all of their sins. But it's personal. Will he save me? Or is he willing to save me, my soul? Oh, truly, my sins abound. My sins are great. My sins are many. My sins are awful. But his precious blood cleanses from all sin. Oh, but is he willing to save me? Or he is able to save unto the uttermost. But is he willing to save me? But the word goes on, willing to save unto the uttermost all who come unto God by him. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Oh, Jesus, the open door of God's mercy. And they come to him because they're led by the Holy Spirit. We have that in a psalm, but you can see it's spiritual. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way that thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Being instructed, being taught, being guided. Ah, the Holy Spirit brings every child of God to the feet of Jesus. Oh, to be found at the feet of Jesus. And with our petitions, like that leper. Lord, if thou wilt. Oh, if it be thy holy will. If I might but find grace in thy sight. Lord, if thou wilt have compassion upon me. If thou wilt be gracious unto me. Lord, if I may obtain thy mercy. Thou canst make me clean. Oh, how did Jesus reply? Oh, Jesus did reply. I will. I will. Oh, how the heart of that man must have been so touched. Indeed, everyone who rightly comes to the Lord Jesus with their petitions, the Lord Jesus will say, I will. Because he doesn't draw his people unto himself to deny them, to send them empty back. Again, we notice there how Boaz would not have Ruth go away empty. Oh, he gave her. Yes, it was the 6 measures of barley. But the Lord will not have his people empty go back. And so that hymn we so often quote, compassion on us have, we pray, and empty send us not away. Oh, we come before the Lord with our petitions, with our requests. Ah, but one may be saying, but the Lord has denied me. But he giveth more grace. You think of the Apostle Paul. He had that thorn in the flesh. His petition, his request was that the Lord might take it away. The Lord might remove it. And so often the people of God, they have that thorn in the flesh. They have that thing in their lives which is so painful and so distressing, and it hurts so much, they long for it to be removed. And they believe that the Lord is able to remove it, to take it away, because with God nothing shall be called impossible. But it isn't the Lord's will to have it taken away, to have it removed. It must yet abide. But the Lord did answer, and the Lord gave. You see, really, the Apostle Paul, he didn't go away empty. Yes, he may have had that thorn in the flesh he longed to have removed, but it wasn't removed. But the Lord said, my grace is sufficient for thee. Oh, the grace of God. Oh, when that grace is given, I can bear all things. All things. more, but he giveth more grace. The sufficiency of his grace in every trouble, in every trial, in every difficulty. Oh, the grace of God, how we need it. And now, my daughter, fear not. I will do to thee all that thou requirest. I just think also of that time when Moses would set up officers in the wilderness as he alone was judging the people and the cases and the judgments. And through the advice of Jethro, who said, if the Lord command thee so, the other officers were set up, and Moses gave them counsel concerning judgments, how they were to judge. And he finished by saying, and the cause that is too hard for you, too difficult for you, too complex for you, bring it unto me. I will hear it. I will hear it. I never desire to bring politics into a pulpit, but oh, if our leaders might be made wise, like those officers. And the cause it is too hard for you, but proud man refuses to believe that things are too hard for them. It's all the teaching of these days, isn't it? To be self-confident, to be able, to find a way through. The Lord doesn't teach his people that way. He will teach them to pray. He will teach them to bring it unto him. Or he will humble them under his mighty hand. He will empty them. He will strip them. He will bring them down. They must be poor and needy. They must be dependent. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Not lean upon your own understanding. Not go to another who you think has that wisdom to help you. But let him ask of God. He has that wisdom to give. And so with his officers, the cause that is too hard for you, bring it unto me. Like Solomon could answer all the hard questions. The Queen of Sheba, she came with her hard questions. And he answered each and every one. But a greater than Solomon is here, and we have our hard questions, don't we? Or we have our, they're too hard for us. We cannot find the answers. We cannot find the solutions. Like Jehoshaphat, we know not what to do. But may it be like Jehoshaphat, but our eyes are upon thee. And all to know, and now, my daughter, fear not. I will do to thee all that thou requirest. And I would just have you notice this. I will do. Not you will do, not man will do. I will do. When Moses was sent back into Egypt to go unto Pharaoh to bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt, and Pharaoh not only refused, but he took away the straw, but demanded the same tale of brick. He made life virtually impossible for them. Not only did Pharaoh and the Egyptians, as it were, turn against Moses, but so did the children of Israel. They accused him of making their hard lives even harder and more distressing and so impossible. And they accused him. And what did Moses do? When all seemed to be against him and everything seemed to have gone wrong, he returned unto the Lord. I'm going to digress again. A thought just comes to mind. I just feel burdened to mention it. Whenever we take a step, whenever we go to do anything, oh, may we be assured that it is from the Lord. That we have that counsel to go, that word to go, that authority to go. You think of that time when Jesus constrained his disciples into the ship after the feeding of 5,000 to go over the other side before him. Well, to me, the very fact that he constrained them suggests that they were either reluctant or unwilling or fearful or concerned. They needed to be constrained. And he constrained them. And they obeyed and went. Now, it became dark. Jesus was not with them. And the wind was blowing contrary against them. And they were labouring, they were toiling and rowing. And to all sense and reason, the easiest thing would have been to turn round to go back. But the word of the Lord was to them to go to the other side. And now they had that authority of the word of God. And thou saidst, or but thou saidst. And the very fact that he constrained them gave them ample proof that they were in the right way. Now, I just mention that because Moses, well, really, he was perhaps more than constrained to go into Egypt. And the Lord had promised him, certainly I will be with thee, and thou shalt bring forth the children of Israel. But now everything seemed to have gone wrong, but Moses could return to the Lord. Now, supposing the disciples of supposing Moses went on their own accord, took it off their own back, as it were, to do these things, and then things went wrong, they couldn't return to the Lord, could they? They couldn't say, thou saidst. They would have been leaning upon their own understanding, going in their own strength, doing their own thing. Oh, be very, very careful, whatever step you may take. Remember that prayer of Moses a little while later, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. Especially in things which are very attractive or very enticing or very appealing. Be very, very careful. If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. Now Moses could return to the Lord and lay his case all out before the Lord. Neither hast thou delivered thy people at all. And the Lord replied unto him, now thou shalt see what I will do. You leave it all with me. Dear friends, we need much grace in our lives to leave everything with God, to commit all unto him. Just thinking there of the feeding of 5,000, and you think of that vast congregation, vast concourse of people, and there was this lad with the 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? Well, in and of themselves, nothing, completely insufficient, inadequate to feed a few. But when they were put into the hands of Jesus, oh, how they multiplied, how there was distribution, how there was enough, how there was a sufficiency, not one was left out. Not one went without. And even the 12 baskets over, we believe, were for each of the disciples. The wonders God alone can do, I will do. I will do. Another word just seems to come to mind in Isaiah 30. And it speaks of the Lord being gracious unto his people. His people who need help, his people who need provision, who need the Lord to be. In verse 18, and therefore will the Lord wait, that he may be gracious unto you. Therefore will he be exalted, that he may have mercy upon you. For the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are all they that wait for him. Oh, it may be that we're trying to manage matters ourselves. It may be that even subconsciously we're trying to assist the Lord or think that he needs something of our advice or something of our strength or something of our ability or something of our wisdom. And therefore will the Lord wait until we're being completely emptied, completely humble, completely brought down. Oh, to be found in that word, nothing, nothing to pay. And therefore will the Lord wait until that soul commits everything unto the Lord. And therefore will the Lord wait, tis thus as self and pride must fall, that Jesus may be all in all. Without me, ye can do nothing. And yet to prove also, I can do all things and abound through Christ which strengtheneth me. And therefore will the Lord wait. Oh, how long do we keep the Lord waiting? Or because we will lean upon our own understanding, because we will not commit all unto the Lord. Or in that sense, we will not let go and leave God to manage everything. Leave God to order all thy ways, and trust in him whate'er betide. Thou art find him in the evil days thy all-sufficient strength and guide. And now, my daughter, fear not. I will do to thee all that thou requirest. And how Boaz would become her husband and would provide for her and would care for her and so on. Oh, when we're brought to know that our Maker is our husband. And you think in the Song of Solomon, how it set forth there the bridegroom and the bride and that love. Oh, to know that our beloved is, or my beloved is mine. And I am his. Oh, do we have such an attraction towards Christ, that felt need of him? Oh, to know him as our Lord, our Saviour. I will do to thee all that thou requirest. Oh, is it to be saved from our sins, saved from the wrath to come, saved with an everlasting salvation? I will do to thee all that thou requirest. And surely the Lord, he did, didn't he? And you think of that skirt here, it can set forth the robe of Christ's righteousness. And when the Lord Jesus lived here upon this earth, he wrought out that robe of righteousness to cover and to clothe his people. I will do, it's what the Lord has done. I think it's beautiful, that verse. In him, in Christ, in him the Father never saw the least transgression of his law. In him we then perfection view. In him we view the saints. In him. All to be found in him. I will do to thee all that thou requirest. Unless a shadow of a spot should on my soul be found. He took the robe a Saviour wrought and cast it all around. Accepted in the beloved. Complete in him, perfect in Christ Jesus, but all to be found in him, believing in him. I will do to thee all that thou requirest. Oh, do we long to know our sins forgiven? Well, there was that woman, wasn't there? A sinner, a bad sinner, a wicked sinner. But she came into Simon the Pharisee's house as a sinner. And as a sinner, she was found literally at the feet of Jesus weeping. And as she wept, she washed his feet and wiped them with the hairs of her head. And she anointed his feet also with the ointment. And how Simon had judgmental thoughts against her and against the Lord Jesus. If this man, if he were a prophet, would have known what manner of woman she is, for she is a sinner, a dirty, filthy sinner. Oh, how Simon the Pharisee would have rejected her and cast her out. But the Lord spoke of those two debtors. And one owed much, one owed less. And if they were forgiven, who would love him most? Or the one who owed most? And then he turns to that woman. And he speaks of how she came in broken, contrite, weeping. She came as a sinner. And he speaks also against Simon. There was no kiss, there was no love, there was no humility, there was no grace, there was nothing. This woman, though a sinner, her sins are all forgiven. I wonder at that point, sometimes I cannot help but thinking of the practical. I just wonder at that point if that dear woman, with her tear-stained face, just looked up. Did Jesus just say, my sins are all forgiven? Can it be possibly true? Me, such a bad sinner, me, such a wicked sinner, did he really say that? Oh, then Jesus actually turned to her and said, woman, thy sins be forgiven thee. Ah, they say, the unbelieving Jews, what manner of man is this who can speak such things? But oh, to a child of God to hear from the lips of the Lord Jesus, our sins are forgiven, and to be blessed with that peace in believing. Oh, is it that peace in believing we long for? The gift of the Holy Ghost, the Spirit bearing witness with our spirits that we are the children of God. Blessed with that Spirit of adoption. I will do to thee all that thou requirest. All that thou requirest. Not thy carnal wants, not thy lusts, no, not seeking great things for thyself, oh, not seeking honour, not seeking positions, but that thou require, but my God shall supply your every need, according to his riches in Christ Jesus, is our needs the Lord has promised to supply. All that thou require, all that thou standest in need of, according to the wisdom of God, according to the knowledge of God, according to the sovereignty of God, I will do to thee all that thou requirest. Now, I believe it was said to the children of Israel, when they came to the borders of the promised land, and they were called to remember all the way the Lord their God had led them, lacked he anything? And they had to confess, nothing, Lord. The Lord had been so good to them. They have been so bad to him, murmuring, complaining, rebelling, fretting. Oh, what poor sinners they had been. But the faithfulness of God, the goodness of God. And it may be the child of God at the end of his life, he looks back. All he can see is sins and failings and shortcomings on his part. But on God's part, faithfulness, loving kindness, goodness and mercy, the supply of every need, that we lack nothing. I will do to thee all that thou requirest. But as we come to the end, and I must just make this point, let us just remember again where Ruth was and where the child of God should be in the context of our text. And now, my daughter, fear not, I will do to thee all that thou requirest. But she was found at his feet. Oh, may we be found often at the feet of Jesus. Oh, there at the throne, in that place of humility, that place of prayer. Oh, may the Lord grant us each that true spirit of prayer. For these things I will be inquired of, O house of Israel, to do them unto you. And God is faithful. And now, my daughter, fear not. I will do to thee all that thou requirest. Amen.
God willing, Mr. John Hart is expected to preach next Lord's Day and Mr. Philip Hare next Friday evening. Let us close with hymn 572. Before the earth or seas were made, Jesus was chosen as our head, the Father's first elect. In him the church was chosen too, and he engaged to bring them through, nor will he them neglect. 572.
the grace of the Saviour and the love of the Father and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all.